All right, and Duff?
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, Hiraki, obvious trail to go forward, or do you know the plans for it?
Yeah, Caulfield Cup. He'll run in the Caulfield Cup where he's, you know, on the second or third line of betting. So, look, the timing's right for him to run well, but I'm sorry?
Sorry, Duff. Nothing in Sydney before that, mate?
No.
It's only 11 days away.
In Sydney. Yeah.
Good on you, Kurt.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate. Now, it's almost 10 o'clock. Horses to follow. Duff, what do you like?
Look, I spotted a very, very, very good horse on Wednesday at Rose Hill, a horse called Hellbent. Keep an eye out for him if he goes to Melbourne. I'll tell you, he's a very good sprinter.
He can handle anything, any surface too, and he's another one of the Iron Invincibles.
There he is. He's lightly raced. He ran sizzling time there on Wednesday, and he could be a smoky.
Dino?
Not for a high class race, but a horse called Flying Light ran fourth on Sunday. That race set up for the leaders, and he worked home well. I think 16 or 1800 in the next few weeks. Flying Light will get a win in town.
All right, and I'll give you a Kiwi to follow that may or may not make the trip over. A horse called Hassel Hoof. He's 4 from 4, trained by Donna Logan.
I don't think he's coming.
They decide to keep him back there, have they?
Yeah, if he comes, he might come for one lower grade race, but they want to get to the Australian Cup in the autumn. I had a chat with Donna the other day.
Ah, yeah.
I think the Australian Cup's the main objective in the autumn.
He can gallop, can't he?
Yeah, he's a beauty.
He's absolutely won his first by 11 lengths. He's an absolute cracker. Mm. So keep your eye out for him. Good to catch up, Duff. We'll talk to you soon. Dano, have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
It's a minute past 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
And the rough and racing.
Won by a country mile or just plain unlucky. Either way, it has Back Me Next Start written all over it. Don't miss a winner this carnival with Black Book Racing Central. Black Book Racing Central is the app that keeps you ahead of the game. Whether it's thoroughbreds, harness or the greys, you'll receive alerts whenever your saved runners are racing. Find Black Book Racing Central in the app or Google Play stores or visit blackbookracingcentral.com.au. Give yourself the edge today.
Catch all the New South Wales thoroughbred harness and greyhound racing here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Puntershow.com.au brings you the big guns of punting. Darren Potter's Melbourne Sets. Vince Accardi's Race Speed Profiles. Don Walter, live in the chat room. Mark Lamborn's Sydney Form. John McLeod, our Brisbane expert. Nick Ashman's Trackwork Tips. Glenn Pollitt and Warren Huntley's Mounting Yard Mail. And the Hong Kong winners. All the big guns of punting in one convenient location. Puntershow.com.au.
Now 2 past 10, lady up for the first at Addington.
Light is on. Lua rolling here for the first. Ready. And racing, best out would have been Sunny Will. Sketchy Steve, a great beginning, charges up and grabs the lead. Round the outside, you know, James the Royal Giganeer. A length for two back, Robbie McBell. They're followed further back by Hoka Too Soon. But away goes the favourite, Sketchy Steve, and no danger. Races away to beat Giganeer. Third down the outside, you know, James. They're followed by Sunny Will. Just outside that, a Hoka Too Soon. They're followed back, we go there to Robbie McBell. And well back, Ray for Hazel and Rosa Gallagher.
Now 416 at Addington, number 4 gets the money, Sketchy Steve, $1.60, $1.10, 1 Giganeer, 160, 6 you know James, 180, 416, they're the numbers, race 1 at Addington, 3 past 10, Sky Sports Radio and tab.com.au is Trent Langsow joins this morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Cozzy.
Now we've got Josh Ryder joining us from the Melbourne Racing Club, the final field for the Caulfield Guineas and 1,000 Guineas, Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Sean, Trent, and all the listeners. We're bubbling here at the MRC. Can't wait for Saturday, 4G1s. And we've got the fields out for the big three-year-old races on Saturday, the million-dollar bet Caulfield Guineas and their $500,000 Schweppes 1,000 Guineas. And both fields look outstanding on paper.
Righto, let's go through them for the Caulfield Guineas, the Group 1 for the boys.
$1 million and a branded stallion collar for the winner of this one. Press statement, number 1, Hugh Bowman and Chris Waller, touted as one of the best colts in the country. He's number 1. Number 2, Odyssey Moon, Rodney Northam, Stephen Arnold. 3, Ready for Victory, Nick Price, G Boss. And he galloped very well this morning here on the course proper. Ragisi for the Team Hawks, no jockey down at the moment. Del Cielo, the big run in the prelude. Murray Baker and Opie Boss and Bon Orem. Locally trained, Kieran Maher and Kieran McAvoy in winning form. Shards, John O'Shea and the Pumper, Ring-a-Ding-Ding Cassidy. Sovereign Nation, number 8, David Hayes and Tom Dabernick. Michael Walker takes the ride. This little colt, Bassett by Savabeel. He's number 9, Peter Moody, Daniel Stackhouse. Number 10, Last Bullet, John Hyam, Vlad Jurek. 11, Lizard Island, Pat Hyland, Blake Shin. Number 12 is Kentucky Flyer, Robbie Lang, Craig Williams. 13, Tarzino, the second of the Mick Price runners, Craig Newitt takes the ride. 14, Snoopy, Team Hawks again, no rider down on either of the Hawks runners. 15, Tulsa, it's been a real eye-catcher leading into this Guineas, Michael Maroney, Ben Mallum. 16, More Than Most, Hayes and Dabineg, no rider. He takes the final spot in the full field of 16. And we've got a first emergency, Mr. Individual for Team Corson's Mark Zara to take the ride. So full field of 16, Sean and Trent. One emergency is Mr. Individual. Press statement, the favourite. He'll carry the number one saddle cloth in the Peck Caulfield Guineas for 2015.
All right, now you've got the 1,000 Guineas, the group one for the fillies.
Small and select field here, Sean. We've got 11 runners to face the starter and some real gun fillies taking their place in this field. One, Pasadena Girl, Peter Moody, Hugh Bowman. Two, Miss Gunpowder, did some terrific work on the course proper this morning. Philip Stokes, Craig Williams. Sagaron, Toby Edmonds, Blake Shin. Jamaica, looking for the 1,600 metres now, just about Sherry Wright, Kieran Maher and Mark Zara. Take Pride, Murray Johnson, Patrick Maloney. Badawiya, Mick Price, on the six-day backup from an impressive win at Flemington. Craig Newitt takes the ride. Stay With Me, Hayes Dabineg. D Dunn to take the ride. Payroll, Richard Lamming and Jay Cassidy. Alaskan Rose, Michael Maroney, Stephen Arnold. Super Cash, Andrew Noblett, Kieran McAvoy. And number 11 is Don't Doubt Marley, Robbie Griffiths and Chris Barnum. It's not as big as the Guineas field, but there's some real quality in the Schweppes 1,000 Guineas for 2015. Which way do we go? I don't know. But no, the locals are a great chance with Moody and Kieran Maher, Pasadena Girl in Jamaica.
All right. Now, Josh, the barrier draw is about 11 o'clock. You'll give us a yell after then and we'll get the draw.
Yeah, the all-important barrier draw. It's the mile start is key, especially in the big field in the Caulfield Guineas. The barriers will be drawn at 11 o'clock for both Guineas, and I'll be ready to take your call after 11.
All right. Good on you, Josh. Talk to you then.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Trent.
Good Josh Rodder there from the Melbourne Racing Club. It is 7:07, Sky Sports Radio.
Caribbean Blaster, a multiple Group 1 winning son of the great sire Better's Delight. A perfect horse with impeccable conformation, speed and stamina. Progeny eligible for the Harness Racing New South Wales Colonial Stallion rebate of $500. Caribbean Blaster, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. The go-ahead state in breeding and racing. For more details, visit yerribee.com.au.
We're here outside the Capital Red Chinese and the word is Jono is in sight. Wait, here he comes. Jono, quick word.
Sure, mate.
First try score at $17 and then you get to shout your mate's Chinese. What an effort.
Oh, speechless. The guy's never stopped believing.
Well, putting that bet on with the Tab app, that must have been the turning point.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was going to miss the bet. I went from my pocket, unlocked my mobile and instinct took over.
Hammered the button there.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure.
Tab on your mobile. The quick, easy way to bet.
Tab. More than just winning.
Gamble responsibly.
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing.
Field sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And it is 9:10 with Sean Cosgrove and Trent Langsdale. Trent, how are you? You well?
All good, Cosy. Thank you.
Decked out in your brown and gold, your mad Hawthorn supporter. You just wrapped your... everywhere.
I've had to hide the gear just today, Cosy. You can't keep walking around with that. They're not the most glamorous colours, and I think people after a while would get sick of it.
Well, you could have got rid of the face paint before today anyway. But that's
apologies.
Now, I've got to tell you, every now and then, people come into your lives who are very, very special people. They can foresee the future. And what will happen, this man we're going to meet in a moment, he has got the Touch Lotto numbers for next Saturday night and for every week after. Anyone who can do what this gentleman does... is absolutely special. Last week we asked Matt Russell what he thought would be the result of the NRL Grand Final, and these were the words from the great man. All righty, margin, can you come up with one for us, Matty?
What about Cowboys by one, courtesy of a Jonathan Thurston field goal?
Look at that, you've got a choreograph.
In golden point as well?
Oh, that's just so theatrical. We are unworthy to be in the presence of Matty Russell. Good morning, sir.
Cozzy, that is some introduction. I have been called special before, but not for the same reasons. You have kindly described me as special this morning. If only I could pick the Group 1s through spring, like I picked the NRL Grand Final on the weekend, although it has taken me about 8 years to come up with a decent tip, and I'm long overdue. Very happy to come up with it.
That was unbelievable.
Look, it was unbelievable in every sense, wasn't it? What a grand final. I know that you're a proud Queenslander, yep. Cozzy, and I'm quite happy to have all Queensland grand finals from here to eternity if they are even like close that. To being as good as that grand final on the weekend.
Well, I've got to tell you something funny. I was watching it on Foxtel, and Foxtel crashed at halftime.
Oh.
And just kept splattering and everything, resetting the thing. The only bits I got to see of the second half, I never saw 1 point scored in the second half trying to reboot the rotten Foxtel box, and they're finally coming out this Thursday to fix it. So I got the first half. Anyway, mate, what a game, though.
Well, fantastic in the first half as both sides scored 2 tries each. We saw Corey Oates go the length of the field, Jack Reed score a great try after a JT error, and in between, Jake Granville set up a couple of tries for North Queensland. It was nip and tuck through the first half. Very low scoring in the second, just the one penalty goal to the Broncos before, with 79 minutes and 59 seconds left on the clock, Michael Morgan ducked and weaved and created that flick pass offload for Kyle Felt to go over in the corner. We were level. JT with a sideline conversion. We thought, here's the fairy tale. Instead, he hits the upright and we go to Golden Point, where it comes to JT again. Honestly, scriptwriters could not have come up with a better grand final than that. And all the sentiment that was angled towards North Queensland was celebrated after JT delivered in Golden Point.
Now, Matty, for those who said, hang on, you know, it was a draw, why not leave it at a draw? And there have been a few mentioned that. What were your thoughts?
Look, I've been amazed at the outcome of this grand final, that people are saying we've got to change it, Golden Point won't work. Hang on a second, we're describing it as the greatest grand final in history, yet we want to change it? There's something wrong with it? How can it be the greatest grand final in history, as voted by 80% of respondents on different surveys, yet at the same time need to be changed? Golden Point might not be ideal. It might be a lottery. But at the end of the day, we had a thrilling climax to a fascinating season. Why the hell do we need to change it? We can't come back a few days later or a week later like we have in the past. The world has changed. Entertainment is about giving people the right to go to a ground knowing they're going to see a winner that day. Yes, I'm sad for the Broncos. They don't deserve to lose that grand final, but someone has to. It's the way of the world these days. Suck it up. Enjoy Golden Point. I watched it in a hotel room with a Fox Sports crew. We were hooting and hollering and jumping around. We were caught up in the moment, as was the rest of the viewing public. Don't change it. Just play it. And you know what, Brisbane? If you don't want to be beaten Golden Point, then try and get further ahead than 4 points in regulation time rather than taking the boring safe option and driving the kicks towards the sideline. That's my answer.
Oh, gee, he's got his tail up over his back now when he picked that. Since he's nailed the mark, hasn't he, Trent?
What about that
look
one,
out.
Trent? Oh, have I gone a bit strong there?
It's on now.
No, that's fair enough. I am in agreement with you in that respect, Matt, because the NFL changed their rules a few years ago. There was a lot of conjecture about the first side that would, after the coin toss in overtime, that if they scored a field goal, that would be the end of it, and the other team wouldn't get a chance to have the ball. And I know it's been debated this year about Golden Point, and perhaps the loser of the game gets one premiership point. But to be honest, Brisbane, they received the kickoff, and unfortunately for Ben Hunt, he dropped it. So that was their possession, if you will. They caused the turnover, and the Cowboys, okay, maybe to score a try might be the best way, but once Brisbane's had the ball once and they fumbled it, then the Cowboys, I believe, have got fair chance to just score whatever they like to win.
Look, I'd be happy if the Brain Trust gets together and says, we don't want Golden Point, we're going to play 5 or 10 minutes extra time, and if we're still level, then we'll go to Golden Point. I'm happy for them to tinker with it. But to say we need to replay it or that, you know, it's not a fair way to decide a grand final, well, the rules are there for both teams. We've got to have a winner. I just want to celebrate the game. I don't want to get distracted from the game by debating how we should decide future grand finals. Let's celebrate a fantastic 80 and a bit minutes on the weekend, a remarkable first premiership for North Queensland, a sensational year for Brisbane, who are ahead of schedule under Wayne Bennett. And I reckon they should be premiership favourites for next year, because we know that it's near on impossible these days to go back-to-back. So the Cowboys might struggle to defend their premiership, but how well-placed are Brisbane, Ben Hunt, Anthony Milford, who must have gone close to being Clive Churchill medalist. They're a sensational halves pairing. They've got promising players, a great coach. I'd love to know the premiership market for 2016. I reckon the Broncos should be very, very prominent.
Well, Matt, they are up there, but North Queensland are currently the premiership favourites at $5. Brisbane, $5.50. The Sydney Roosters, $8. The Warriors, $9 chances. Canterbury, $11. Cronulla, Melbourne, both $13. Manly, $15. Penrith, $17. We'll go through the rest. Parramatta and South, $21. Canberra and St. George Illawarra, $26. West Tigers, $34. Newcastle, $67. And Gold Coast, $101. So the party will be continuing in Townsville for a few days, but they are $5 favourites. But just sounds like at the moment, Brisbane, $5.50 isn't a bad tip from your point of view. And the Warriors, with all of their off-season recruits, we'll see what happens this time, but they are given a chance at $9.
The last team to go back-to-back in a united competition, that is, aside from Super League, was the Broncos in the early 90s. We saw how much South Sydney struggled this year after jumping out of the blocks brilliantly. And as history shows us, it's more than 20 years since the club's been able to go back-to-back. So the Cowboys, you would imagine, with that luggage on board, might struggle at times. And I just love the way that Brisbane have come together this year. Their defence, outstanding all season, and it was the case again in the grand final. I thought we'd be doing this chat today, boys, midway through the second half, lauding Brisbane's defence as the premiership-winning play, because they were outstanding in the second half, denying North Queensland time and time again. A couple of tackles on Thurston from Thaiday and Blair, Cozzy. Unfortunately, I think you missed it while you were fixing your Foxtel box.
Yeah, it's still not fixed either.
Get it fixed and watch it again.
Oh, no.
You'll love it. At times, they made the Cowboys' attack look pedestrian, and it took that remarkable try in the last second of the game to force Golden Point. They were within a whisker, Brisbane, of winning it on their defence, which has been the best in the league this season.
And, Matty, I think really, to be honest, you know, your statement saying what a great grand final was, I think that's what it boils down to. People are walking around still saying, hey, what a great game, what a ripper game. And that's what you want. You want a positive outcome from it.
And we got that. And you know what? I'm not one to say it's the greatest grand final ever, because I remember 1989 distinctly. You know, it had all the drama as well. Steve Roach and Ciro being taken off by Warren Ryan controversially. Benny Elias hitting the crossbar with a field goal attempt that would have won it for Balmain, and then going to golden or going to extra time after Chicka Ferguson scored, and then Steve Jackson scoring in extra time. That grand final had it all as well. Let's not get too quick to throw out history and make this one the greatest of all time. It's in a photo finish, but I'm not going to go as far as to say it's the best ever.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely fantastic. And as I said, it's one of those ones we're going to talk about regardless for many, many years to come. When you look at next season, and there'll be people already thinking, hang on, Trent's come out of the market there, you know, we might have a little bet. Is there a side that you look at and you think in the off-season they're going to recruit well? They may have had players who with a bit more maturity, they're going to improve. Is there one there that could be a little smoky for next year?
Well, let me talk about three. I've already mentioned Brisbane. I think they're ideally placed with a lot of Friday night games, a settled squad that now believes in itself. Sometimes Ben Hunt can get rid of those ghosts that will exist after the grand final this year. I think they're going to be very much in the mix again. It wouldn't surprise me if they win the premiership. Behind them, I'm going to watch with interest the Warriors, who are overdue for success. They've recruited perhaps as well as they ever have, with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in the fullback role, Isaac Luke in the hooking role. Sean Johnson will be back and fresh after his ankle injury, so long as there are no hangover from that injury. You're going to have a brilliant spine at the Warriors, so look for them to be hard to beat. And the Canberra Raiders, who, if they can learn to win at home, they've got to be a contender to come into the eight. And I reckon they're going to be a tough, difficult side to beat, so long as Ricky can unlock the secret in getting them to win in front of their home crowd, which is strange. You'd think it'd be on the road where they struggle. Well, they do that easily. It's winning at home that's their query. So those three clubs, I think, I'm excited about in 2016.
All right, and we'll just ask you to post us through. Don't let anyone else know the Tats Lotto numbers for every week from now on, Matty, if you don't mind.
97, legs 11, keep going.
Yeah, good on you.
Right, so if I pick one group one winner during spring, I'll be ahead of my last few. So that's my only aim from this point on. I fear I've used up all my luck, saying JT, field goal, golden point. Right, oh. I might not have any tips left for spring, and I need some, boys.
Too good. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure, and good luck over the off-season.
I've really enjoyed the season, and I want to know, did both of you go on the breathalyzer before coming on today? Because Trent, as a Hawks fan, and Cozzy, as a Queensland rugby league fan, you've had every reason to celebrate big over the weekend.
Mate, I'm stupid enough without it. You don't need it. But at least I've got enough intelligence to know that.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, boys. I really enjoyed the season. I hope you have as well.
Yeah, and, we have, mate.
Can't wait for 2016 if we can build on that grand final.
Good on you, Matty. See you, mate. And Russell Lee joining us at 20 past 10 on Sky Sports Radio. Neil Cordy is going to take a look back at the AFL Grand Final for the weekend, and the Hawks came out and gave the West Coast Eagles an absolute walloping. Cordy joins us now. Morning, Neil.
G'day, Sean. It was a walloping, wasn't it?
We kept saying all along through the year, the Hawthorn have got such brilliant ball handling skills that they are ruthless, they don't make mistakes, and they really showed up the Eagles, didn't they?
They did, yeah. That said, the Eagles did have their chances. Unlike last year when the Swans were never in the game, there were a few moments in the game, obviously early on in the first quarter, and then again in the third when they made a bit of a surge, but they really fluffed their lines. Their turnovers were absolutely terrible. They copped the ball up continually. When they made that run early in the third quarter, Jack Darling made a horrific fumble. Luke Shuey, who was really good and really bad at times, made a terrible turnover. And then the Hawks basically put them to the sword then, and it was all over sort of mid to late in the third quarter.
Yes, apart from Luke Shuey, when you kicked the first goal, Neil, that Hawthorn they followed with the next nine, and I think you've sort of encapsulated most of the game in that Hawthorn, they were able to capitalise on the Eagles' mistakes, but when West Coast had the chance, and you mentioned they did have that spurt in the third quarter where some Hawks supporters, namely myself, got a little bit nervous, but Jack Darling dropping that absolute pud, and then it went down to the other end, and the Hawks were able to capitalise, and then they were able to extend the lead again heading into that last quarter, and it was all but over.
Yeah, the key thing was that West Coast really needed to put a bit of stress on them because, as you know, the Hawks went to WA twice in the last month. Plus, it was a really hot day. It was the hottest grand final on record at 31, and they needed to actually put them under a bit of stress and a bit of running stress because there was while the Hawks moved the ball quickly, their speed, their leap speed isn't as quick as the Eagles on ballers, but they couldn't get into that position where they got closer than the four goals to actually put them under that stress. So, the Hawks could basically, from about midway through the third quarter, just kept the ball away. A staggering amount of a differential in the marks, 84 marks to the Hawks, which is, you know, almost unheard of. They just kept the ball away from the Eagles in the last quarter and a half, and were able to basically, see it out.
Neil, back in 30 seconds, almost sit here now at Addington.
He's got a good book, hasn't he? So they're loading up here for the second on the card, the Turf Bar Stakes. First leg of the quaddy. Green light is through, and the Lua rolls here, ready for race two, set, ready. And racing, one of the best to come out here, flown along the inside, Canted Angel. Now one or two trying to push through, including Falanti. It's got a good run through on the rail. Benjamin Black just behind them, round the turn out of the straight. In the meantime, Opawa Bourne has gone up to join Canted Angel. Benjamin Black winding up. He's got three lengths to make up, though. Round the outside, they were followed. Falanti further back there to Gold Star Rosie on the corner. Canted Angel, the big danger. Oh, Benjamin Black, he just drove through and grabbed the lead. And these dashed away again. Benjamin Black will speak for Lanty second, not sure about third. Gold Star Rosie or Opawa Bourne. That's tight.
All right, now the numbers here will be 5-3 and a photo. Number 5, Benjamin Black, 161.10. And second 3, Falante, 340 and a photo for the Miners. We've got Neil Cordy joining us, looking back at the AFL Grand Final. Neil, a couple of things stood out, I suppose, for the Weagles. You make a mistake and Cyril Rioli will make you pay for it. And their leading goal kicker kept goalless.
Yeah. James Frawley was sort of got lost in a bit of the Cyril hysteria, which actually, you know, in a way was really deserved. But James Frawley did an absolutely amazing job, and gee, the Hawks recruit so well. They got Brian Lake a couple of years ago to fill up that key defensive spot, and now they've got James Frawley, and he looks really up to the challenge. And that was an absolute superb job he did shutting him down. And Rioli, well, it was a lot of conjecture over the. It'd be interesting to get your opinions on the Norm Smith medal, and because there were a couple of other candidates, Sam Mitchell in particular, who was very strong throughout the day. But I thought they got Rioli was the right one because he was the one when the heat was on in the first half. He was involved. He kicked two goals himself and he gave assist in another two more. But if you looked at the chain of scoring, Rioli had a hand in almost all of the first half goals from the Hawks. So I think he was obviously the crowd's favourite, and they started chanting his name halfway through the last quarter. But I think he was a deserved winner.
I believe he was, Neil, and Sam Mitchell can count himself unlucky again in the grand final. He's had Luke Hodge perhaps pinch one off him and then again on Saturday. But as you mentioned, Cyril Rioli, when the game was there to be won, he kicked a couple in the first quarter, and just that chase down on the wing in the second quarter and even during the third quarter when the Eagles were making some sort of run, he was able to intercept the hand pass, quickly give it off to, I think it was Bruce in the end, he got it off to Pioppolo, and then that unbelievable kick where Gunster was just running in the space. So I think Rioli was a deserved winner. And you've talked about the difference, especially with the errors at West Coast occurred, but on the day itself, once again, the leadership shone for the Hawks. Luke Hodge, Mitchell, Jordan Lewis, and you've also mentioned the back line of Lake and Frawley, whereas for West Coast, unfortunately for players like Matt Prittis, Josh Kennedy, and even if he was injured, Nick Natanui, they seemingly all had their worst game at the worst possible time.
Take heed, it was so reminiscent of watching the Swans last year in so many ways, but I think at least the Eagles had moments when they were in the game and the Swans were shut out of it. But you're right there, Trent. It's interesting just looking at it. It was the oldest team ever to win a grand final, and you look through the list of their best players. Sam Mitchell's 32, Luke Hodges 31, Sean Burgoyne's 32, Brian Lake, doesn't have a contract on the table yet for next year. He's 33. David Hale's 31. I think Jordan Lewis will be 30 next year. Josh Gibson's 30 plus. It'll be interesting. They face some interesting challenges to stay at that level.
And it's interesting when you mention a few names. They've got a few recycled players there that have had around. They've got around with other clubs, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They've been absolutely brilliant in their recruiting. They've gone after quality players and specific to exactly what they need. We've spoken about Frawley and Lake, who've shored up that key defensive positions of being able to handle the gorillas, as Alistair Clarkson calls them, and they've been quality all the way through. Ben McAvoy's another one who's came from St Kilda and filled the spot in the ruck. Likewise, David Hale, who was terrific going forward and as a genuine goal kicker over the last few years. So they're football, but you know, Alistair Clarkson rightfully is getting enormous plaudits for his amazing job of now winning four premierships, but the football department in particular, the recruiting has been absolutely spot on.
Well, just looking at the premiership, Neil, for next year, it's already up, and Hawthorn are the $4.50 equal favourites with West Coast. Fremantle $7, Sydney $9 hopes, Port Adelaide $11, Richmond $13, Adelaide, Geelong and North Melbourne all $15, the Western Bulldogs $17, and GWS the next best at $26. And despite, as Cozzy's touched on, the ages rising for those Hawthorn players, at the moment, it would be a hard man to say that at $4.50, they could make a really good chance of making it four straight.
Oh, massive chance, Trent. You go through the challenges. Frio looks like they look at an ageing list and don't have great depth. The Swans have got their problems as well with depth and a question mark over Lance Franklin's future. The Crows have lost Paddy Dangerfield. North are there and improved a little bit, but still look a long way off getting to the Hawks level. Richmond, well, we've spoken about them as being the most likely, but their performances on the biggest stage when they get to the finals have just been terrible. Maybe it's the Western Bulldogs, a young team on the rise that could move into that premiership contention. But it's right at the moment, it certainly looks, just because of the way that they've won, they lost six matches this year, but The way they play in September is just so impressive, and it's hard to see who's going to get to them.
The state team in the grand final, you don't want to be playing Hawthorn at the MCG. We've seen what's happened to the Dockers 2 years ago, the Swans last year, and then the Eagles suffered the same fate on Saturday. Maybe Port Adelaide, Neil, at $11, that maybe this was the down year, and perhaps after missing the finals altogether, they rise back up, and they'll hopefully, for their fans, as the song suggests, they'll be up, 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 coming up to our next year in 2016. Neil, just as it's been the case for Matt Russell this year from Fox Sports for the NRL, we've appreciated your time this year on Tab Talk. The off-season will continue. There'll be plenty of notes, I'm sure, and we'll continue to read your views in the Daily Telegraph. But once again, Neil, thanks for your time this season, and no doubt we'll be in touch during the off-season and into 2016.
Good on you, Trent. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thanks to Sean, and it's been a really good experience.
Good on you, Neil. Neil Cordy joining us there looking at AFL. You'll be back through the day, Trent?
Cosy, just letting you know, just the final fields, as Josh mentioned, yep, with the Caulfield Guineas and Thousand Guineas. The market is up before the Barry draw in half an hour for the Caulfield Guineas. Press Statement, the $2.40 favourite. From Ready for Victory, $9. Dalciello, Bassett, and Tarzino, all 11. And then at $13, you've got Bonorum and then Tulsa. And in the 1,000 guineas, the final field has been announced in the market before the barrier draw. Pasadena Girl and Stay With Me share favouritism at $4.40. Miss Gunpowder and Badawia, $5. And then a gap to Jamaica at $10. And then Sargeron and Sugar Cash, $14.
Good on you, Trent. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Cosy.
29 to 11, Sky Sports Radio.
.au brings you the big guns of punting. Darren Potter's Melbourne Sets. Vince Accardi's Race Speed Profiles. Tom Walter, live in the chat room. Mark Lamborn's Sydney Form. John McLeod, our Brisbane expert. Nick Ashman's Trackwork Tips. Glenn Collett and Warren Huntley's Mounting Yard Mail. And the Hong Kong winners. All the big guns of punting in one convenient location. Puntershow.com.au. Get racing sooner with a graduate of the Magic Millions 2-year-olds in training sale, October 13 on the Gold Coast. The number one breeze-up style auction in Australasia. The 2-year-olds in training sale gives buyers an edge, having seen the horse gallop prior to